Now, I think this is one of the nominees for Song of the Summer.
What is it?
This is Miley Cyrus, and the song, I think, is called Flowers.
Flowers.
It's got a
I like Miley Cyrus. I think she's really talented.
I think she's great. I think she's great.
All right, this from Chaz Man, Ireland. I just got back from a trade show, and with the exception of the sleeping meds, that is literally my bag, what you have going. This time, I forgot a charger for my smartwatch, and it bugged me the whole trip. Mace, if you ever need a charger for anything. Okay, that's for a phone. That's for an iPad. This is for a computer.
Yep.
This is a backup for the iPad. This is for
speaker.
What is that
my
for?
Speaker,
oh, the speaker,
my portable speaker.
Yeah.
We got one of these.
Yep.
We got one of these.
Wow.
We got one of these, bigger one. These
bigger blocks.
We got one of, can you believe I can fit all this into here?
No.
And then.
How do you even remember where everything is in that thing?
I just look around till I get
it's
it.
It's like the Swiss Army then, knife of bags.
Yeah, that's one. That's the one for my computer. I have a wireless card in case I run out of internet. You need anything, I'm telling you, it's in this bag.
That is crazy. We've gotten a complete tour of John Ireland's travel bag.
You've gotten three compartments out of 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some other day, I'll show you the other ones.
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
It's bad radio is what it is.
So, Real Players of Minneapolis is the brand new series that is a huge, huge hit right now. The Real Players of Minneapolis are coming to Los Angeles to play the Lakers tomorrow night at Crypto.com Arena, where the Lakers are 7.5-point favorites.
No, I think that spread's too high.
I think it's right on the money. Right on the money. I expect the Lakers to win that comfortably.
It's gonna be. It's gonna be close. I think the Lakers are gonna win it.
I imagine by double digits.
I imagine that with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it's going to be a tight game, and then the Lakers pull away in the last 6 minutes, and then we're on to Memphis. Where I'm going to, how much fried chicken is too much fried chicken for me to eat? Because our hotel is literally two blocks from Gus's Fried Chicken, the greatest chicken place in the world.
Right.
Would it be weird if I ate fried chicken every day for lunch and dinner for a week?
Are you that person?
Yeah.
You are the person that finds something comfortable and eats
and
it
just,
every day?
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. I could be Wade Boggs. I could eat chicken every day.
So I, for a long time, when we were doing the show over in Beverly, right by Beverly Hills High School, the Fox TV show, every day I would stop at the Stage Deli at Century City, which is no longer there, pick up a Reuben, and eat a Reuben every
single
day.
Makes total sense to me.
When I was in college for a while, I would eat 24 hot wings every night, and that's the only thing I would eat for the day. I get into this sort of food groove, and I eat the stuff all... Like, there's a certain protein bar I'm eating right now that I'm eating every single day.
I do the same thing.
Food groove.
To quote John Candy in the movie Splash, when he drops change on the ground and keeps looking up girls' skirts, and Tom Hanks is his brother, and he says, "Freddie, you're not 5 years old anymore. Knock it off." And Candy says, "When I find something that works, I stick with it." Hey, lock in. Come on.
Do you ever get into a food groove, Bergman?
Yeah, I will have the same thing all the time. So if
Greg, I actually have good news for
all
you.
All the time, yeah.
Text from George Sedano.
Yes, I know. I was right.
Using the compound stress rule, the word is pronounced biopic, not biopic.
I would like an apology, please. Thank
from
you,
who?
Everybody. From everybody.
Who's going to apologize?
Greg, I think you're right.
Thank you, Ireland.
No apologies. Okay. No apologies.
There was something else that you were right about over the weekend.
It's pretty normal for me to be right.
No, but this was a big one. I'll think of it. You're not that right that often.
No, it's
so,
more than you think.
Well, so I want to throw this out there. This is a relationship question. This is a guy who wrote this. "My girlfriend and I have been together for about a year now. My girlfriend has more than a few guy friends, and I'm not one of those guys that thinks men and women can't be friends. However, it's very clear that they want more than just friendship from her. It's clear as day to the point where I don't understand how she doesn't see it. Should this guy break up with this girl? She has too many guy friends who are into her."
If he's insecure about that, he should break up with her. I'm not insecure about that. I don't care if guys flirt with Lisa or talk her up or do whatever. If she acts on it, that's when we got a problem, but she doesn't.
Does she have a lot of guy friends?
Yeah.
Good-looking guy friends?
Yeah. Mostly tennis pros.
Guy friends who are into her?
Yeah.
And you're okay with that?
Sure.
Even though you travel so much on the road?
Yep. She, by the way, my wife has the easiest avenue to fool around in the history of the world. I'm gone 2 weeks out of every month.
Right.
I just trust her.
See, I would.
Do you trust Juan when you're gone?
I do, but I would break up with this girl.
Why?
Because I am insecure. I am basically at my core. And wildly jealous.
Yeah, but here's the weird thing: you date an actor.
Right, but if Juan had
a scene in a movie and he had to make out with another guy,
that's just a job. But if Juan had...
Because this comes up in the Brooke Shields doc.
If Juan had a lot of good-looking gay guy friends, I would be like, no, you can't have too many gay guy
friends.
Okay,
but you guys have been together for like 18 years.
There are a lot of people like Mason. For example, in the Brooke Shields doc, she talks about how she did a guest stint on Friends.
Okay, right.
And in Fringe, she starts sucking Matt LeBlanc, the guy who played Joey's, fingers. It's in the scene.
Right, okay.
And she said Andre Agassi got so jealous he flew into a rage.
Really?
Broke trophies, threw things against the wall. Was basically Jerry West.
Or John Ireland.
Yeah, right.
That's
exactly
what I thought you were talking about.
That's what you and Jerry have in common
now. Jerry never threw a trophy. I did.
Mm.
I
don't know. I saw it on TV.
And
he didn't get to the Supreme Court.
If you're married to Brooke Shields,
yes,
who, by the way, you'll realize watching this, may have been the best looking teenager in the history of the world. I mean, she was just that good looking when she was younger.
Yep.
And still is. She's still beautiful. But if you're going to get jealous when she's acting, mm-hmm. you can't be married to her. Because she was in Endless Love. She was in Blue Lagoon.
But acting is different from having a bunch of guy friends. Like Bergman. If you're, I don't know what you're dating, but you're,
let's suppose you're dating
a woman named Marge.
A beautiful
Marge.
Girl named Marge.
Okay.
And she has a ton of good looking guy friends who are clearly into her. Are you okay with that?
Yes, because she's with me. And I figure, like, she's going to have, if she's that good looking of a person, and I'm assuming that her friends would be into her.
But would you not feel insecure, jealous, any of those things if she's out with a bunch of her guy friends who are into her?
Did she invite me?
That's a good question. Probably not. This is Girls Night Out.
Girls Night Out, but she said she was with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, it's Girls Night Out with a bunch of guys.
Well, that's lying, and there's a whole different thing going on there. But like, if this was 10, 15 years ago, yeah, I would be absolutely jealous, and I would hate every second of it. But now I just realize, like, you're with me, and if that's what we're at, and you're agreeing to that, if you're going to go cheat, then just break up with me. I would rather you just, if you're even anywhere near that mode, then just end it. But otherwise, you're with me and we're together and I don't care. Do it
so
anymore.
You're not jealous?
No, not anymore.
Boy,
not
I'm a super jealous person. Super
you
jealous.
You really would be 18 years.
But what astounds me is you're super jealous, but Juan is an actor who has to go on auditions and occasionally have romantic interludes with these people in these shows and movies, and you're okay with it.
Well, that's just acting, though. That's a
job. Yeah, but how do you think Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie got together?
That is true.
I mean,
it does break people up. Yeah,
right.
It does break people up.
It happens all the time. Interesting.
Are we still doing? We still do tacos.
What if her guy friends told you to tell her that they're carol singers?
Carol singers. It's cheating.
Tell them to bug off.
It's carol singers.
Oh, God.
Now, if a girl I was with went out and kissed the guy and then came back and told me that it didn't actually happen, that's cheating. She's lying.
Right.
Yeah, it's cheating.
It's a lot of it is proximity, though. A lot of it is Jorge, what do you...
No, I'm waiting for you to finish.
In other words, if you're around a bunch of people, it's more likely to happen, right? If the girl is around a bunch of good-looking guys and you're not around, isn't it more likely to happen? It's proximity.
Yeah, but I don't think... If you're that insecure, then you're not going to... It's not going to work. The whole relationship won't work if you're that insecure. It shouldn't happen. If she is that into you and is with you, she won't cheat on you, even if you're close.
Yeah.
Something happened on SportsCenter.
What happened on SportsCenter?
Chris Finch, the Timberwolves coach, has commented on why.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so we'll see if we can turn that around.
Okay, we'll try to turn that around. In the meantime, I wanted to bring this up. If the Lakers, will it continue? Will the Jack in the Box taco thing continue during the playoffs?
Of course.
And if you hold
Billy Mack is primed.
Hold the team under 111 and you get him?
Jack,
I think it is.
Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box. So is Jack in the Box an advertiser with us?
No, not on the radio, just on TV. Okay. Well, wait, they might be now. Ask Justin, Greg, if Jack in the Box advertises with us. I don't remember them doing it.
I read a review. I don't care. I read a review of Jack in the Box tacos.
Okay, this is my guilty pleasure.
Okay, so it was rating different tacos, Taco Bell, Del Taco, and this was what they wrote about Jack in the Box tacos. Jack in the Box has had tacos on its menu since the 1950s. The two tacos for 99 cents contain the sparest of taco fillings, just meat, cheese, lettuce, and taco sauce. What kind of meat, you ask? Jack in the Box lists its taco filling ingredients as beef, chicken, textured vegetable protein, and defatted soy grits plus spices and flavoring. The resulting texture is a homogeneous packet of meat that's been compared to cat food. Then there's the cheese. Jack in the Box uses slices of American cheese, aka pasteurized processed cheese food, in these tacos, rather than the more traditional shredded cheddar or crumbly queso fresco. The result is an oily, often soggy taco that no one would claim is fresh, authentic, or high quality. Reaction.
Could not disagree more. I can't get enough of the Jack in the Box, especially if I've been drinking.
Delicious.
If I've been drinking and I'm in an Uber and I'm heading home and there's a Jack in the Box near where I live, hey, man, pull in there.
Even after that description.
I'm going to order two more. I always order six because they're only 99 cents.
Yeah.
So you order six and a big drink and the whole thing's $5.
Even though it's been compared to cat food.
Not by me.
Get me that and a McRib and we're good.
Yeah. Oh, McRib is gross.
No, but Jack in the Box tacos are fantastic.
See, would you, Jorge, you agree?
Yeah, those are good.
They are not good.
Yes, they are.
No. I mean, this is my hot take of the day. Jack in the Box tacos suck.
No, they don't, man.
They are pretend.
No, this is your, you know what this is? This is Mason's SoFi Stadium is overrated.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, this is your, because most people like Jack tacos. And most people like SoFi Stadium. Yeah, I think SoFi Stadium's overrated.
But in the end, Taco Bell tacos are way better than Jack in the Box tacos. I like the crunchiness and the actual meat that's involved.
They're pretty similar.
Actual meat. No, they're not similar.
Yeah, they're pretty
close. Jack in the Box tacos are soggy. And they can't even say there's meat in them. Literally, they don't list.
Ed Hart says they're great even when you're sober.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
They are. They're delicious.
I'm not kidding. If I drive by a Jack in the Box, like on days when we're not working, if I'll drive by a Jack in the Box and there's no line, boom, six tacos. Let's go.
Absolutely.
Nothing like them. Diet Dr. Pepper.
Diet Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, because regular Dr. Pepper is too sugary.
We had a conversation when you weren't here about Dr. Pepper, and we decided who drinks Mr. Pibb. Who actually walks into the store and orders Mr. Pibb?
Only when they don't have Dr. Pepper.
Right. It is Dr. Pepper. It's just like low-end Dr. Pepper.
Anything diet is terrible.
Oh, no. See, I drink Diet Coke. I like the flavor of Diet Coke better than I do regular Coke.
I'm to the point where regular cola is too sugary.
Yeah, it's got all the fake sugar in it. It's not good for you.
Hey, what are we doing? We can't talk food in this show, remember?
Oh, that's right. We can't talk food.
Sorry.
You didn't hear this?
No.
Oh, right. Travis and Sliwa own the exclusive rights to talking about food. This is their claim.
Stay in your lane, Mace.
This is what Emily says.
Okay, so they own the exclusive right to talk about food, and they are literally the only show on the planet that wants to slow down the pitch clock.
Yeah, we got
to
slow it down. Slow down those games a little bit.
And by the way, go back and listen to their podcast. Their podcast, like Travis saying, no, that's not what I said. It's exactly what he said.
Even when he was here, he said, I think they should add some time to the pitch clock.
Right.
Literally wants to slow down the game.
He wants to go to 20 to 25 seconds.
He wants more time to get beer and hot dogs and stuff. So he missed two home runs.
Jorge, why are you pointing to the sky?
Oh, you got because he's got the Timberwolves coach.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do that next.
Okay. Chris Finch, Timberwolves coach, what he said about the Rudy Gobert thing and coming here to Los Angeles to face the Lakers tomorrow night in a big play-in game at Crypto.com Arena. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Stay in your lane.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Prince is from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Used to play basketball.
Home of the Real Players of Minneapolis. The drama that is coming to town tomorrow night.
What if they get another fight on the bench tomorrow night? By the way, if that fight would have happened in the locker room, would Gobert have been suspended?
Probably not, right? It's the public look
right.
that matters.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it probably happens privately more.
All right, so I don't know if... I think this was probably yesterday after the game, because I don't think Chris Finch did any media this morning, but you got it, Jorge? Here's Chris Finch, the coach of the Wolves.
Certainly immaturity, like, you know, it's been one of our kind of issues all season. Been immature at the wrong times. You know, probably points to why we're, you know, 3-9 or 3-10 against some of the teams that we should be better against.
Gobert's punch.
All right, so here's my question. He admits they are a very immature team.
Yes.
Is that on him and his coaching staff, or are you not expected at the NBA level to be a babysitter? How much of the, in other words, what happened on the bench yesterday, two teammates.
Yes.
Getting in a fight, which almost has never happened in the history of sports.
Right.
I mean, probably hasn't.
Very rarely.
Count the amount of times on one hand. How much, if we're doing a blame pie, how much blame do the coaches get?
They get some. They get some because, you know, I think
he's a good coach, by the way, Chris Finch,
I think that one of the jobs of a coach is to, and you hate this, but it's to establish a culture.
Mm-hmm.
It is to establish an environment where everybody thrives and everybody is successful. Now, that doesn't mean that you can necessarily get everybody to buy in, and it sounds like not everybody has bought into whatever culture Finch is trying to
create.
Well,
and it also sounds like Gobert, there's more to that than we know.
Yes.
Like Kyle Anderson's a no-nonsense guy that gets in your face, and he had clearly had it with Gobert. And so everywhere Anderson's been, he's been a vocal veteran leader. And so if he doesn't like you, that's a problem. But Gobert has the immovable contract. If Gobert and Anderson can't coexist, it's not going to be Gobert that's gone. It'll probably be Anderson.
Well, the other thing is, and by the way, we didn't mention the Mavericks thing, the Mavericks tanking in order to
avoid the play-in. No, but I'd like to get into it.
But
before we get to that, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Jalen McDaniels,
yes.
The guy who threw his fist through a wall.
Yes.
Jaden is his name. His brother is Jalen, who plays in the league on another team. Jaden throws his hand through the wall. He's out for the postseason.
Yeah.
I know he's going to be, but let me ask you, should he be paid?
Of course.
Of
course.
If he drove a motorcycle and got in an accident and it's in his contract.
Well, that's in his contract.
Right.
A motorcycle or skydiving. They put stuff like that in the contract. But this happens.
Bergman, you think the guy who broke his hand by throwing it through a wall should be paid?
This happens in baseball a lot.
But if you put your hand through a wall, you're still hurting yourself the same way that you would.
But you can't.
You're putting stress on your own body.
But
it's the same thing as riding a motorcycle and getting hurt on a motorcycle.
But you can't. It's an emotional game. He is filled with passion over the game.
Well, I think it would be a terrible
in a terrible moment. He punches a wall. But this happens in baseball.
Yeah. By the way, guys,
hurting they're out for a long time.
I think that he will be paid because you don't want to be the team that doesn't support your players.
On top of that, the union would never allow you to not pay him.
Well, get the not the same old story thing ready, Jorge. The Lakers used to have a guy named Vladimir Radmanovich.
We heard the story before, guys.
Yes, you have.
Not the same story.
No, yes, it is.
Vladimir Radmanovich, over an All-Star break, went snowboarding and broke his wrist.
Yes.
And was unavailable for the rest of the season.
Correct.
He told the Lakers he was washing his car, washing his truck, and fell off it, and the Lakers found out about it.
Yeah.
They paid him anyway because they didn't want to be the team that wouldn't stand behind their players if they had an accident.
Right.
So I think Jaden McDaniels is going to be paid regardless.
The other famous incident of this is Jeff Kent.
Am I mixing up stories? Was it Jeff Kent?
Jeff Kent is
that said he was washing his
car, and he was actually motorbiking.
Right.
And
okay. I may be confusing those two stories.
Radmanovich was snowboarding. I don't remember what he told everybody
that he slipped on black ice going to his car or something. But they found out he was doing something that was violating his contract.
It depends on for example, in the case of Kent, motorbiking did violate his contract.
Correct.
But the Giants paid him anyway.
But I would think if I throw my fist through a wall and I make myself unavailable for the postseason, I did that to myself. They could void my contract, couldn't they?
I don't think so.
They wanted to? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Interesting question. Okay, so let's get to the Dallas thing.
Okay.
Because you mentioned it.
Yes.
Dallas basically, and we haven't been on since Friday, Dallas basically announced on Friday that they were tanking the rest of the season. Now, there are a lot of teams that are tanking, but nobody came right out and said it like Dallas did.
It was an organizational decision.
Now, they have a weird dynamic going on. Their draft pick in this summer's draft is top 10 protected.
Right.
So if they finish in the bottom 10, they get to keep their pick.
Right.
Winning would have moved them up to 11th or maybe 12th, and then they lose their pick.
Correct.
So they made the decision that they would rather keep their pick than go in as the 10 seed and try and win the tournament. Anything wrong with that?
Absolutely not. I understand the decision. They want their team. First of all, they obviously have no confidence in the team, the idea that their team is going to make any sort of run out of the 10 spot. And it benefits the franchise to have what could be the 11th or the 12th pick in the NBA draft. Otherwise, they completely lose it. So I get it. They're gaming the system, but I understand why.
I think that's an honest answer. The NBA is going to say, you guys came right out and said you were tanking games, which is not okay. You can, in other words, you can tank, but you can't say that you're tanking. And so I think something may come out of it, but it's very hard to single out the Mavericks when they're at least Utah, who the Lakers played twice in the past week, basically sat everybody.
Right.
Yesterday in Phoenix for the second consecutive game, the Suns sat everybody.
Does it matter what time in the season it is? Like, the Mavericks did it at the very end of the season. Last game, second to last game, whatever happened to be.
It's a good question.
I mean, if you're doing it from the middle of the season, like, Houston was tanking.
Well,
for all season. All season they were tanking.
But they weren't trying to win. The difference is they had players who were on the court playing hard, but they're just not good enough to win. In the case of Dallas, they actually took anybody that could help them win off the floor.
Right, at the very end of the season. It wasn't an all-season thing. Like, they tanked.
Although,
a game
didn't
or
Mark
two.
Cuban talk about this midseason, about tanking, and they got fined $600,000? Is that right?
I don't remember that, but it's possible. I just don't think the NBA can single out the Mavericks. You know what?
No, it's 2018 he said that. He talked about tanking. He was fined $600,000 for saying it's a reality. Teams are tanking, including us.
The thing about the Mavericks that surprises me is that they're, and maybe they're just posturing, but that they're saying they're going to keep Kyrie.
I
mean, I know it was a small sample size, but that doesn't work.
Well,
those two guys.
It's the same thing with Gobert. When you've moved a whole bunch of assets, you're kind of pot committed. And for them to move as much as they did for Kyrie, it seems like you've got to find a way to make it work. Although, you know, as you said, the one reason why the Lakers have been so successful since the trade deadline in particular is that they are the number one defensive team in the league.
And Dallas just doesn't play defense.
They were a sieve. I mean, everybody could score on them. They could not get stops. So I do understand, and that's, you know, they're gaming the system. But if you were Dallas, would you do the same thing?
I would. I just wouldn't have said it.
Right.
I would have done the dance and played the game. just say, you know, if somebody asks me why aren't Kyrie and Luka playing, I'm saying because we only have two games to see what the rest of these guys can do, and we have to make organizational decisions next year. So we know they're good. We need to see these other guys. That's why we're doing what we're doing. When the truth is, they're tanking.
All right. Coming up next, John, crayons.
Crayons. Or crayons. As I say, crowns.
Crowns. Crayons. Very important to one Dodger who is off to a really good start.
Really?
I will explain that coming up next. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So you, how do you say it? Crowns?
Yeah.
Is that?
No, the proper pronunciation is crayons.
Crayons.
But I just jam it together and say crowns.
Crowns. Bergman, do you say it crayons?
I say crayons.
Yeah, I say crayons too. Cranes.
Cranes? Crayons.
So who's the Dodger who uses crayons?
Okay, so here's an interesting story. James Outman, who's off to a really, really good start for the Dodgers. Looks like rookie of the year caliber player, one of the real bright spots they've had offensively. Had what the what Dodgers minor league hitting instructor Keith Beauregard called a caveman swing when he was in the minors. And in particular, his left hand was affecting his swing plane. So what they did was they gave James Outman crayons and a coloring book.
Okay.
And his job, in order to improve his left hand, was to color with his left hand inside the lines. And it's been one of the secrets to fixing his swing is coloring left hand.
Do you think that'll work for my golf swing?
Ooh. Me or him?
You know what? That's not actually a bad idea.
Let's do this.
Bergman, give me a coloring book.
Okay, I have some at home because I have a child.
Of course.
And I'll bring it to you all week. You have to.
By the way, I was a spaz as a kid when it comes to coloring. I would have difficulty, as in life.
Coloring inside the lines?
I would have difficulty coloring inside the lines.
Yeah. I thought that was a really interesting way to treat a swing and to get a little bit more subtle with your left hand coloring inside the line. By the way, that's an article that I read all the way to the end. You know why?
I'm proud of you. And it was longer than four paragraphs?
It's written by Jack Harris of the LA Times, who I read his stuff. And this is what got me to read. It was the headline, Coloring Books Inside James Outman's Major League Rise. I'm like, well, I've got to read that. Where do the coloring books come into this whole thing?
Wow.
So James Outman, who's been one of the brights. Yeah, it was. So Bergman, Outman has been one of the strong points of the Dodgers lineup so far. I think Max Muncy has been the biggest disappointment so far.
Either him or Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor's got a couple of bombs, though. He's got two home runs, but that's about it.
Yes, he's got two hits. By the way, Trace Thompson got his first hit since his three home run day.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But that was, you know.
But I really think, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, I am genuinely concerned about the Dodgers. Like, I haven't been concerned.
Haven't they only played less than 10 games?
Here's the problem. The Dodgers bullpen.
They're 5-5.
Allowed 9 runs over this 4-game series with Arizona. Gratterall, Almonte, Ferguson, Vesia, Andre Jackson, not getting anybody out. And yesterday, in terms of depth of rotation, Michael Grove got totally lit up. Noah Syndergaard got completely lit up. I think Syndergaard gave up 8 runs, and they just sort of got hung out to dry, which has got to be a terrible feeling. Grove, I think, gave up 9 yesterday, and Robert says he just doesn't have any good options in the bullpen right now.
There really isn't. I mean, who would you want them to go to? You can't use Evan Phillips everywhere.
Right. It's really Bickford has been good.
Bickford!
And Phillips has been good.
Give me Bickford!
And Bickford has had a little bit of troubles at certain times, too. So he's been good recently.
Yeah.
But he started off a little poorly.
Yeah, and I think depth of rotation is potentially going to be a problem for them. I mean, they need to get Tony Gonsolin back because right now, you know, Syndergaard, you hope, works it out. And then that fifth hole, I mean, I can't imagine Michael Grove is the long-term answer.
Why are we thinking Syndergaard is going to be anything different than he's been the last 3 seasons?
Because this is what happened with Tyler Anderson. He went through the rebuild the rotation rebuild the arm with what the Dodgers did with Tyler Anderson. They've got this knack for getting more out of guys. So the idea was, let's fix Noah Syndergaard. So far, the results are very mixed.
Well, it's mixed because the first game he was actually
pretty good. Very good start, yeah.
And then the second start, he blew up. So we'll see maybe what happens in the third one. But Tony Gonsolin threw 2 scoreless at Camelback Ranch today, so he's starting to get...
Okay, good. That's a good sign.
And Jimmy Nelson, who will go into that bullpen as well, he faced 4 batters today and was pretty... So he's starting to come back.
Actually, the guy that was good out of the bullpen, although he's walking guys, is Shelby Miller.
Yeah.
Shelby Miller's walking guys, but he's also striking out guys.
He could be a guy that's like the Tyler Anderson for you. If he comes in and he starts pitching like he has when he first came up, as he's the reclamation project, he can be a starter at times, so he could possibly be one of those types of people. I think it will all work itself out, especially when Tony Gonsolin comes out. Yeah, because when it comes back and you go Urias, May, Kershaw, Gonsolin, the fifth starter is kind of, you can piece that together. It's the bullpen that has the biggest problem.
Hey, how weird is this? Did you guys see in this minor league baseball game listen to the names of these teams. The Reds AA affiliate, the Chattanooga Lookouts.
Yeah.
Defeated the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Where is Rocket City?
Not sure.
Okay.
7-5. All right. The seventh inning of the game was one of the most bizarre innings of baseball ever. Chattanooga, those are the Lookouts, racked up 7 runs in the inning despite failing to record a single hit. Thanks to a stunning combination of walks, plunk batters, defensive errors, and wild pitches, the Lookouts posted the 7-run inning without recording even a single. Has that ever happened before?
Well, I've seen teams lose while throwing a no-hitter because of walks. I don't think 7 runs in a no-hitter, that's crazy.
The inning consisted of 5 walks, including 2 with the bases loaded, 2 hit-by-pitches, a wild pitch, a defensive error by the Trash Pandas center fielder, which was responsible for 3 of the runs.
Trash Pandas is a terrible name for a team.
Well, but you know, minor league baseball, they probably did a name contest, and that's the one that won. Because when you do these name contests now, what happens is
everybody votes for the weirdest one.
And sometimes, like, inappropriate ones that you can't use that are either, like, pornographic or unacceptable. And so they have to settle for Trash Pandas.
But in Major League Baseball, there have been teams that have thrown combined no-hitters and lost games. So it's not completely but to lose a game 7-5 while holding the team to no hits
is almost unheard of.
Is completely unheard of. I can't think of any situation like that.
All right, hey, what's the game of game standings this month, Bergman?
The game of game standings.
I know I don't have any.
Game of games
game
time.
Game of games time.
It's pretty close all the way around. So
all right,
now,
good. Then I'm not out of it.
No, you're not out of it at all. Sedano has 2. Mason has 1. Morales has 1. And I have 1.
Okay.
By the way,
my game today, by the way.
The Trash Pandas are the AA affiliate of the Angels.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's Rocket City?
Unclear. Unclear. All right, we're going to do Game of Games coming up next. It is Ireland's game, and as Bergman said, everybody's in play now for the month of April.
Anybody playing from the afternoon show?
Shedano.
Okay. Is Cappy back today, too?
Yes, he should be back.
Awesome. So we'll get a full-strength Shedano and Cappy coming up for Supercross Talk. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time, and we welcome to the show... Shibboleth. I sometimes screw
yeah,
that
you,
up.
Yeah, your sibilant S is doubled up on you there.
Shibboleth S.
By the way, did you guys give Greg Bergman an apology for getting on him?
Yeah, we read your text.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never heard it referred to as a biopic.
Oh, I've only heard it heard as a biopic.
So like Rocket Man about Elton John,
right.
It's not a biopic?
It's biopic.
Really?
That rule I sent you is a grammar rule.
You say biopic, I say biopic.
No, it's not tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Bergman is
potato,
right.
Potato, potato.
Give that man the credit.
Thank
that
you.
That credit is due.
Thank you.
And never. Apologize to
You've
him.
Never. You've given it to him.
You guys.
What, yeah. What he said.
I mean, right. what's this tie-dye hoodie you got going on today?
I'm tie-dye hoodie.
You're
I
back?
Love this.
You're
yeah.
back?
I'm back. No,
yeah.
Occasionally.
Sweatpants today?
No, I'm wearing
jeans.
Big
wow.
boy pants.
Oh, look at that.
Big boy pants.
Tequila Mandala for
yeah.
you today.
Yeah, yeah. I got to make sure you shout them out when I need to, you know?
There all right.
It is time for Game of Games, and it is Ireland's game today. Everybody's in the game for the month of April. Ireland, you're one of the few people who have yet to hit the scoreboard.
Wow. Well, it's not going to happen today because I am yeah. the host, wow. and we have four players. It is
Shidano leads the month.
I have two.
Okay, so yeah. and Shidano, I'm going to say, is a slight
okay.
favorite
uh-oh,
in this
uh-oh.
Game.
In the league.
Yeah,
yeah it's uh-oh. A slight favorite in this game, but anyone can win.
Okay. Anyone.
All right, yeah. the NBA, it's four players. It's okay. Briones, Bergman, Mason, Shidano.
Oh, multiple choice?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
that gives everyone a fighting chance.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs start tomorrow with round one of the play-in tournament. In honor of that, I have an NBA playoffs quiz.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Who holds the NBA record for most points in a playoff game? Is it A, Wilt Chamberlain, B, Michael Jordan, or C, Bernard King? Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, or Bernard King, Jorge?
Wilt.
Greg.
I don't know why else you would put Bernard King in there, so I'm going to say Bernard King.
Okay.
I agree.
Mace.
Bernard King.
Shidano.
Bernard King.
The answer is Michael Jordan.
63 against Boston.
I can't
Damn
believe
it.
You didn't get that.
I thought you were tricking me. I'm trying to think. Why was there?
I put
why
Bernard
was
King,
Bernard King in there?
Specifically in there for what Bergman fell for.
Misdirection.
Yeah, why else
he will say, why would you put Bernard King in there? I just like Bernard King.
Yeah.
Star of the movie.
Bernard King, by the way, has had 50-point games in the playoffs.
So. Yeah. Star of the movie Fast Break.
Yeah.
Go see it. All right. Number two. Who holds the record for most points in an NBA playoff overtime with 17?
Just the overtime yourself.
Just the overtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. A, Larry Bird. B, Kobe Bryant. C, Steph Curry. Bergman. Kobe or Larry Bird, Kobe, or Steph?
In an overtime.
Yeah. 17 points in an overtime.
Kobe.
Next one is Mace.
Kobe.
Shidano.
Curry.
Briones.
Kobe.
Shidano is on the board. It is Steph Curry. He had 17 points against the Portland Trail Blazers in May of 2016.
Did you know, or is that a guess?
No, I knew that.
Yeah. Of
okay.
You did.
This player.
I knew the Michael Jordan one too, and I let Bergman screw me up.
Yeah, he talked you out of it. Okay. Number three. This player holds an NBA playoff record, making 14 shots in a game without a miss.
Mm.
All right. Is it A, Chris Paul, B, DeAndre Jordan, or C, Andrew Bynum? Mace, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, or Andrew Bynum?
God, I almost think it's got to be a bit. I'll go weirdly DeAndre Jordan.
Okay, Shidano.
I also think it's DeAndre Jordan.
Okay, Briones.
Say DeAndre Ayton?
Jordan. DeAndre Jordan.
I'll go with Bynum.
Bergman.
I think it's Chris Paul.
It is Chris Paul. Very
oh!
good, Greg.
Thank you.
When he played last year against the Pelicans, he made 14 shots in a game without a miss. All right, Bergman won.
Come on, Pelicans.
I think DeAndre Jordan did have like 12
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, he had
like
a good game too.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. The record for most three-pointers in an NBA playoff game is 12. That record is held by A, Klay Thompson, B, Damian Lillard, or C, Reggie Miller. Shidano, Klay, Lillard, or Reggie?
Lillard.
Briones.
Dame time.
Bergman.
Yeah, Dame time.
Mace.
Yeah, Lillard.
All of you are correct.
We
so
all followed
in a quadruple overtime game against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, everybody's on the board. The leaders are Bergman and Shidano.
Do you know why I know
each.
That?
Did you work that game?
I did.
Oh. Probably shouldn't have put that one in there then. Okay. The playoff record for most three-pointers in a game without a miss Ooh. Is 7. So this person went 7 for 7.
This one's tougher.
That record is held by A, Robert Horry, B, Ray Allen, Or C, Kyle Korver? Ori Allen or Korver Jorge?
I'll say Allen.
Greg?
I'm going to say Korver.
Mace?
I'm going to say Allen.
Sedano?
I'm going to say Korver.
It's Robert Ori. Oh, I was at that game. It was in Salt Lake City. He hit 7 for 7. I believe the Lakers lost.
Wow. Yeah.
Even though he hit that one. Okay, let me see
how. Kyle Korver had some great games with LeBron.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Three left, and then a tiebreaker if we need it.
Yeah. Where are we right now?
Sedano 2, Bergman 2, Mason and Jorge 1 each, so it's tight.
Okay.
All right. I'll make the guys ahead go first. The playoff record for free throws made without a miss is 24.
Yikes.
That record is held by A, Kevin Durant, B, James Harden, or C, Dirk Nowitzki. Durant, Harden, or Nowitzki, Sedano?
Harden.
Bergman.
Yeah, Harden.
Jorge.
Harden.
Mace.
I got to go different. I'll go KD. So
you're going Durant?
Yeah.
Should have gone Nowitzki.
Oh!
Yeah, it's
damn.
Dirk. He did it. In that
in
year,
one
they
won, game?
Yeah, in that year they won the title against Oklahoma City, May 17th, 2011.
That's crazy.
All right, so still only 1 point separating Sedano and Bergman from the other two guys.
Wow.
All right. The record for most free throws attempted in a playoff game is 39.
Holy moly. By one player?
One player. That record is held by A, Wilt Chamberlain, B, Shaquille O'Neal, or C, Dwayne Wade. Wilt, Shaq, or Wade, Bergman.
Man, you're throwing Wade in there all weird on me. I don't like it. But I'm going to say it was Shaq with the hack of Shaq.
Okay. Sedano. Wilt, Shaq, or Wade?
Shaq.
Briones.
I'll go different. I'll go Wade.
Mace.
Yeah, got to go Wade to win.
Shaq and these guys have taken the lead.
Yeah. All right. Wade has
the had the lead.
Wade has the most attempts in a finals game, but not in the playoffs.
Okay. So it's now a two-man race.
Yep.
There's one left. This will decide it between Bergman and Sedano, and I have a tiebreaker if we need it.
After.
No, this is the last question. Tiebreaker if we
I'll
need
go
it.
I'll go different, Sedano. Don't worry.
Okay. The youngest player ever to score in a playoff game is A, LeBron James, B, Daryl Dawkins, or C, Kobe Bryant? LeBron, Dawkins, or Bryant, Sedano? What's the answer?
Dawkins.
Greg.
I think it's Kobe.
It is Kobe! Yeah! And you got the lead, Bergman. He did it. He scored 22 points in a game against Portland at the age of 18 years, 250 days old, in April of 1997.
How old was Dawkins? He was a high school guy, too.
Yeah.
And he played on great Sixers teams.
Yeah, but the answer is Kobe. I didn't look up what... I put Dawkins in there because I thought I might be able to trip you guys up. All right, let's do the tiebreaker just for fun. The NBA playoff record for the most points averaged over the course of a playoff series, so picture 6-7 games, is held by Jerry West in 1965, against Baltimore. How many points a game did West average in that series? Greg?
37.
Okay. Sedano? One. Point one.
45.
Briones?
40.
Mace?
47. What?
46.3.
Oh.
So you just would have said 46, which would have been smarter because he said 45.
I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, you went over him.
Game of Games fired by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you got to go to calljacob.com.
Can't believe I didn't get that one.
Call 844-24-JACOB.
Thanks,
that's 844-24-JACOB.
Well, his strategery worked on
it
you
worked.
There.
Yeah. It made me think, like, wait, is it not the 63 against Boston in the first round?
Yep, it is.
Yeah. Did you see Succession?
Don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
No, I heard about Morales. I just started the show, so I'm not there
yet. Yeah, you can't say anything about it.
Yeah.
But
show,
here's what I will say, George. If you don't like, well, you can't if you just started the show. Like, you're in the season, first season.
First season, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to find out what happened just by going on social media. Yeah, it is all
it's
over.
It's hard to avoid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I saw
but
everyone,
it won't ruin the experience.
Everyone on my timeline, you know, put Succession in caps, all caps at the same time, it felt like.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Well, that was big.
Well, like, I told this story earlier. Our friend Molly Knight is a big Succession fan, and she got on her followers because she said, look, I live on the West Coast. All you East Coasters ruined it for me. And I thought, I love Molly, but you can't go on social media if you're trying to not find out
by the
what
way,
happened.
How do who? If you watch on HBO Max, you get it at 6.
Not if you have cable. If you have,
I have cable. I get it at 6.
Oh no,
on
I have
HBO
cable.
Max.
Yeah,
so you
it
get the
streams.
You get the East Coast feed.
Yeah.
It
streams.
And you can also
see,
watch.
I have DirecTV, so I can watch.
You can actually
HBO East
and on cable. You right on DirecTV, you can just go to HBO East and watch it at 6.
Yeah,
right.
Or stream.
Do you have DirecTV?
Stream it at 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the few great things about DirecTV now that, you know, we still don't get the Pac-12 network, but you get East Coast
feeds.
Well,
there may not be a Pac-12 anyway, so there's that.
Or, well, it'll have San Diego State,
who
throws parties when they finish second.
Yeah,
actually, I don't know if that
You should throw their trophy.
I don't know
I
if
would
that
if
party
I was there.
Happened.
I offered to go with Sliwa and throw their trophy, and he didn't think it was funny.
I forgot
funny.
To ask Sliwa. He
not
said he was going to go. I wonder if he went to the San Diego
I don't know.
Party.
Yeah, we should ask him.
Yeah.
Now, is it like an assembly? Is that what they call it?
Yes.
They went
pretty
to their,
much.
Yeah.
Pretty
they
much.
They went to their little stadium and they had, you know.
They did it at Petco, though, right?
No, they did
they
it,
changed
at,
it
at,
Petco?
Their stadium.
Bubblegum.
Oh, well, they're fine on their campus.
I think it's like Bubblegum Stadium
Stop.
Or something.
There's no way that's what it's called.
I think it's called Bubblegum Stadium, isn't
it? Yeah, close enough. Fine. Jorge, hit the super stager. Of Scott Kaplan after a week away. Cap, how are you?
I am well, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Now, Cappy, did you hear that while you were gone, you were away, right?
Right. I was up in Mammoth.
Okay.
Yes.
I paid homage to you. Did you hear about it?
I've heard about it, but I never heard it on the radio.
Well, okay. Stand by, my friend. Here you go.
Here is your original a line that I think is the most
that
brilliant.
Mason challenged me to work into a Laker game.
The most brilliant thing you've ever said, Cappy.
What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
So the challenge was, can John Ireland work that into a broadcast?
And not only, Cap, in your honor, did I work it into the broadcast, but I worked it into the game-ending clinching call of an overtime. Here it is. What a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
So, you want to hear something funny? That was way better than my situation. So, Ramona bet me
$100. I heard this, but I did not hear if you did it.
I did it. I told her in the first break I would do it because you know, as you know, when we're doing the second game, I don't have a pregame hit. So, in the second game, we have I come on the first time out.
Right.
Right.
So in the pregame.
Matter of fact, this is weird because I was at that game and I saw you and I knew this bet was going on, but I couldn't hear you.
Right, right.
So I didn't know if you did it.
So it was unfortunately blacked out on TV.
In L.A.?
We hit the limit on L.A. games.
Right.
So I told Ramona, oh, that's going to be easy because I can just get them the first hit. So I told Mike Breen, I said, hey, Ramona bet me $100. I can't work that line into the broadcast. So my first hit, I'm going to toss it back to you this way by saying, what was the line again?
What a fortunate time we find ourselves in.
Yeah, and I said, Mike, what a fortunate time we find ourselves in. A potential Russell Westbrook revenge game and perhaps the biggest Lakers-Clippers game ever, Mike.
All true, by the way.
And
God.
I tossed it, and the producer, Ian Gruca, literally went in right in my ear and goes, you're welcome, congratulations, you're now $100 rich.
Now, did they give you a copy of it? Because we couldn't record it here.
I can find it. If you give me a second, I can find it.
Here, by the way, Cappy, is John Ireland's full call.
So here, Cap, you can get the... I felt very proud of myself for working this in, not as a throwaway, but when it meant something. Here's the whole call.
Abahi, behind the three-point line, now to THT. Schroeder guarding him, back to Abahi, back to THT. THT driving, he's into the two-point area, 15-footer, no good. Rebound, grabbed by Troy Brown. He gets it to Schroeder. Schroeder ahead to Reeves. The clock expires, and the Lakers win it in overtime. 135-133, what a fortunate moment we find ourselves in. The Lakers have won four in a row on the road, and if the Warriors lose tonight, LA is in sixth place in the West.
Wow.
That is so good.
Cap, oh my God. That was my gift to you, my friend.
Dude, That was incredible. I heard that you worked it in. I followed it all on social media, and I hadn't heard it. And you created such an emotional moment in the game. You know, John, that might be your future kind of, that's your signature thing at the end of games. When the Lakers win, you're like, what a fortunate moment we find ourselves in.
You know what? I love that. I'm going to work it in again. Now that I have your permission to steal your line, I'm going to work it in again.
Yeah, it's not even mine. It was really Mason's.
No, it was yours.
I mean, it was mine.
The first time we heard it was when you said
it. I was like coaching you up.
Yeah, right. Now, George, I got to say, I'm ultra, ultra flattered that you and Ramona had the bet and you won the bet. I mean, I'm flattered on one hand, and on the other hand, I'm super happy for you. You're $100
richer.
Wait
a minute. So now, honest answer. Has she paid you yet?
No.
Okay.
She knew I did it because I told her she was at the game.
All right. We will lord over her until she pays up.
Yeah, dude, I am. Venmo, I'm actually watching it now. I'm recording it, and I'm going to send it to Brioni.
So okay, did I tell you the one I did in Houston? Mason, no. I don't know if I told you this.
No.
So we stay in this uber fancy hotel down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only 5-star hotel in all. Matter of fact, Cap, I think I sent you exactly where it is so you could see how over the top it is.
Is this the place where you jumped into the pool?
Yeah, that's
clothes?
The story I'm going to tell Mason. So Michael and I, we eat dinner at Mastro's. There's a Mastro's connected to this hotel. And we get done with dinner, and we're walking back in. And at night, the pool is closed because they turn it into a restaurant, like a fine dining restaurant.
All around the pool.
And there's probably,
pool.
20 tables around the pool with people eating at all the tables.
Nice.
And Michael and I walk in the front lobby, and Michael said, I'll give you $100 if you jump into that pool right now fully clothed. And before he could take it back, I handed him my wallet and my phone, and I jumped right in the pool. And he paid me on the spot.
That is crazy.
And the manager comes over and he goes, yeah, I'm going to need your room number. This pool's closed. And I went, well, he just offered me $100. He was not amused. And finally, after a while, when I'm standing there, I even had my shoes on.
Dripping wet.
I'm standing there dripping wet. He goes, do you want me to go in through the back? I will. I'll go in through like the waiter's entrance. And he goes, no. He goes, here, let me just get you some towels.
Yeah.
Try off for 5 minutes, and then I'll follow you with a dry towel and just get in the elevator and go to your room. And I did.
Dude.
And then they put all my clothes in a dryer, and I had $100.
Wait, wow. You did this with your shoes on, though? Like, that would have been for me. I would have been like,
Michael made it
off.
A condition of the bet.
Oh, really?
He said, I go, can I give you my wallet and my phone? He said, yes, but you got to leave your shoes on.
But, John, has everybody seen the video of you going into the pool?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I have a question.
I just listened to this.
Didn't work?
Yes and no. So D'Angelo Russell hit a shot when I was starting the line.
So you can't hear it as well?
And I had to say, hey, basket there by the Lakers. I'm in the middle of my report.
Right.
I said,
I've been there a million times.
And the crowd drowned at the beginning. So all you hear is, we find ourselves in a fortunate moment here, Mike.
Yeah.
So
she
doesn't owe me $100.
Wait. Yeah, she does. You didn't nail it on the exact thing.
Right.
But,
damn you, D'Angelo.
But yeah.
So John, you jumped in the pool.
Yeah.
Clothes on, shoes on.
Yeah.
Now, this video has not been released?
Not that I know of. Yeah, I think Trudell put it out.
Okay.
Like,
Trudell put
on
it out?
Social. But here, I'll send it to you and Sedona right now.
Okay. I've seen the video, and George, you should see this. Check me on this. When you and Michael show up at the hotel, and Michael kind of goes and puts some stuff down on the table, and he seems to take out an envelope to pull the $100 bill out of an envelope.
Oh, probably his per diem, right?
Yeah. It's from his per diem envelope.
Okay, I was just was wondering if he's walking around with an envelope.
No, he does. No, he does collect hundreds. Here's a weird thing about Michael. When we get our per diem, he goes to Bill McDonald and I, and he says, hey, I want your hundreds, and he gives us all of his 20s. And so it's Michael is obsessed with having a bunch. You can ask him about it tomorrow. Having a bunch of $100 bills.
Like a roll?
Yeah.
Like a ball player.
And I think now he's up to $3,000 or $4,000.
No.
Yeah. And Clay and Trace have found it, have found his stash.
Wow.
So they now just go in and take his money. And he called them both at the same time and he said, you guys, you're both making millions of dollars as professional athletes. Stop taking my money. And they don't care. They go in and raid his
hundreds
all the time.
I have, I'm not a big cash guy, but I have at home what we call the go back. And so,
and in it, you have a stash of cash?
I've got a stash of cash, and Juan has no idea where it is. Okay. No idea. He goes and looks for the go bag all the time, cannot find it.
Well, my wife...
all it is cash and a fake beard and mustache.
Okay, like Neil Diamond?
In case I need to go.
Yeah, you got the Neil Diamond fake hat
exactly.
and fake mustache.
The go bag.
So, Mace, I found out the other day, my wife is just like you.
Yeah.
Does not carry any cash whatsoever.
Yeah.
She just says she doesn't need it. I go, what happens when you have to tip people? She goes, I don't tip anybody.
Well, Michael said in the game on Friday, Michael said that it cash carries like 200 different types of bacteria and fungus and all that
stuff.
Well,
he would
know.
Yeah. Michael Thompson would know.
How's he clean it?
I don't think he does. I think he loves money, so he puts up with it.
Yeah.
Now, George, do you know your playoffs?
I'm watching your video right now.
Oh, yeah. I just sent it to Mason and Sedano, yeah. Cappy. Do you know your playoff schedule yet?
I'm calling the the 9-10 play-in game in New Orleans on radio.
Oh, I actually think that's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
I think New Orleans wins unless Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes crazy.
Yeah, I'm off this weekend because I'm doing college football spring game at Miami on ACC
Network. Oh, that'll be fun for you.
Yeah, on ACC Network. And then I'm back next week. I don't know where I'll be next week.
Though. Well, either do I.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the season could be over. I could be in Memphis.
Yeah, and then from there,
tell
him
to send you to Memphis. We can go to Gus's.
Yeah, Gus's is good. I heard you say you can eat chicken
every night
a week straight. It's probably not good for the ticker, is what I would say.
No, yeah,
probably not.
Probably
yeah.
true.
Yeah,
Cappy.
What's wrong with chicken every night?
Fried chicken.
Yeah. And if I'm there for a week and I eat it for lunch and dinner all week, that's probably not good.
Have you ever seen Supersize Me?
Yes. It's you know, like, keep you out of McDonald's for at least a month.
It's kind of like that, right?
Yeah, right.
Like you're just going to get worn down.
Fried chicken every night.
Yeah.
Cappy, you coming up for the game on tomorrow night?
I am, as a matter of fact. How about you?
Yeah, me too.
Are you guys going to go and get lost again in the arena?
Cappy, you lead the way, man.
Now I know how to get from that, you know, like the nosebleed press box all the way down.
So now I
can make it a lot faster.
I've got the business card of Travis Madison. Do you remember Travis?
Of course, I know Travis Madison
very
well.
He goes to visit him every day.
Time I'm there.
He's the guy that runs security at Hyde.
Yeah. Yes. Did you say he runs Social Security at Hyde?
No.
Runs Social Security at Hyde.
I mean, you guys
by the way, we
that.
Are both yeah. eligible to yeah. collect, I think, from Hyde. No, we're going to go. So tomorrow night, we're going to go to Hyde, right?
Yeah. Well, let me just ask you a question, Mace. Yeah. Are you going to get done with the show tomorrow and then go see a movie and then come back and pick me up?
Exactly
what
I'm going to do.
Oh, except it's a 7 o'clock tip, so you got to hit the window.
Why do you hate Jack Black singing on Super Mario?
Because it's joke singing.
But wait a minute. Did you see School of Rock? Watch School of Rock with your kids, George. It's a great movie.
I haven't watched it with my kids. I remember watching it years ago. Yeah. But I saw Super Mario with my daughter. She loved it.
Did she?
It's a kid's movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you play the video games.
If you grew up playing
it. Right, and I grew up playing Super Mario.
See, I did not.
Yeah, so it was very much in line with that. And it had like a couple funny adult jokes like a lot of those movies have, you know?
It made like $347 million.
Dude, I believe it. I went to a 3 o'clock showing. It was pretty packed on a Sunday on Easter.
There you go. Did you see Air?
I have not yet. I'm going to go see that myself.
I'm going to see it on the road when you and I are out on the road somewhere.
It is so good.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah. But if you got a kid, go watch Super Mario.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Is everybody here caught up to speed on Ted Lasso?
I am.
I am not.
I am up to
date. So I fell asleep. I was so tired last night. I fell asleep because I literally landed from Nashville at like 8 in the morning from a spring game. And I did all the family stuff. So I went to bed. I was trying to watch it. I caught up on 2 episodes. I'm at the point where they're going to play Nate. Like, that's the last episode.
Yeah, okay, that's the most recent.
So you haven't seen that
right
at the beginning
okay,
of that
so here's,
one.
Wait,
here's,
what episode is that? Is that
it's
I'm
three.
Through,
is it three
four?
Or four?
Four.
Maybe it's
I'm
four.
Only, it's got to be four because I'm only through three because they got the new guy who's like the
Zava.
Zava.
Oh, I love
right,
Zava.
They got Zava. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jamie's very upset.
Yes. Yeah. But here, I'm going to tell you guys, without spoiling anything, a really cool Easter egg to watch in the episode where they play Nate's team.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys know who Grant Wall is?
Yeah, yes. Of course.
Okay, really famous soccer writer. Tragically died at the World Cup while he's working. So apparently when they decided to make Ted Lasso into a series, because remember, Ted Lasso started as a promotional campaign on NBC for the Premier League.
Yeah.
And then they turned it into a series, and they wanted to talk to people that knew soccer. They needed advisors. So apparently Grant was super generous with his time. So if you watch, I think it's episode 4, whichever one where they play Nate.
Right.
Coach Beard is in his office talking to Ted, and he's clutching a book to his heart.
Yeah.
watch closely and look at the book.
It's Grant's book.
It's Grant's book.
That's cool. Mm.
Which, wow, I thought was a really cool Easter egg.
That is cool. Yeah, that is Grant, cool. Very nice man. Like, it's sad that he's not around anymore. But yeah, I'm very interested in watching that episode. So I'm glad that I fell asleep right at the beginning so I could just watch the whole thing.
Wait,
again.
So you're going into episode 4, George?
Yes.
Where they're about to play Nate's team?
Right. That's the next episode.
Yeah, it's okay. West Ham against Richmond.
Right, okay. Because Zava's got them like right there in the top four.
Dude,
right.
Zava's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this Gobert thing. Do you guys think Michael thought
they're better without him?
Well,
you think
you
so?
Can make that argument. Michael thought what he said to me yesterday. He said they're better, or they'll let Gobert play in the game. He'll apologize to his teammates, and he will apologize directly to Anderson, and he'll be fine.
Nope.
Why, George?
I think they've already announced the suspension. So
no, I know, but why not let him play?
Well,
he apologized to everybody.
He's already dinged up. He's got back issues, back spasms.
Right, so maybe more to it than what we're seeing.
Right, and he's also, like, he was bad in that game yesterday. Like, Jonas Valanciunas was working him, which is why Anderson got all over him and called him the B word.
Right.
That's allegedly what he said to him, and that's what set him off.
How does that story end? He doesn't really have a tradable contract,
no,
right?
No, they're going to have to trade Towns, I think, eventually.
Wow.
To get those...
Because at some point, I think the same thing with Kyrie. You're pot committed. You moved everything in the world.
I mean,
to get
Tim Connelly has been a good executive in his career. That was not one of those shining moments, though.
Yeah. Well, it could go down, especially if Gobert doesn't come back to the Wolves. I think he probably will. But if he doesn't come back, it might go down as the worst trade in NBA history.
Oh, I mean, it's
nine players.
Yeah,
it was five players and four draft picks.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yeah,
and strangely, in a full circle moment, two of the players. Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt,
yeah,
who ended up
Lakers
with the Lakers.
Now. By the way, it's actually technically five because there's a pick swap in there, too.
Yeah, there you go.
So there you have
10.
When was the last time you had a scuffle like that? You know, like a...
I mean, with Cappy every show.
I was
going to
say, if you guys were in the same room, I would say it happens.
Right. Every
show. But here's the thing. You know, I did hear this all happen yesterday, John, on the radio when Michael said that. And I've watched this thing like 10 times. He doesn't really go to punch him in the face to knock him out.
Correct.
It's in the chest.
It's more of a push than it is a
punch. A love tap sort of a thing. You know what I mean?
By the way, what were you laughing at that Bergman was saying to you over there that he was laughing
at? I can tell you. So Bergman made the point that you just made earlier today that they're better without him, and Mason shouted him down, and you made the point and he didn't say anything to you.
No, he said, you think so? That's what you said.
Mike, you think so?
Bergman, did you have the exact same point?
I've been saying it for a long time.
It's like that TV dad commercial.
Yeah.
You know?
one of his regular...
I just said that exact thing.
One of his regular tropes is Rudy Gobert is overrated. You've said it a million times.
Yes, because he is.
He's not worth a max contract.
Oh, by the way, Greg, that was the other thing I was trying to think of that you were right about.
That he was overrated?
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
This is a very good day for you. You have been saying for years that Rudy Gobert is not as good as we all think
he
is.
By the way, where are the Sparks picking in the WNBA draft that just started now?
10th.
Boston win number one.
They picked 10th.
Are you going to have complete coverage?
No, I mean, I'd like to.
Total.
Let me tell you something. The women's game has exploded
now.
It has. No doubt.
It's getting like 700. That LSU game against
highest
Iowa,
rated women's game ever.
I mean, it was like a million people watched the game.
Yeah.
It's an incredible number. That's like an NBA regular season.
Yeah, it's great.
So did you say the number one pick was already taken?
Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina. Yeah, she's the
everybody thought that
best two-way player in the sport. Yeah, But
I agree.
Caitlin Clark has still got another year. And
she's too young.
She's too young
to come
Curry
in.
She's like the Steph Curry of college. Of
not going to the White House, though.
Is she not? Right, no. That was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
let's
was
be
ridiculous.
Honest. I mean, what were they thinking?
The participation visit.
I mean, you can't do that. John would literally like,
I would throw the trophy. Throw the trophy at Iowa.
He'd go into the Rose Garden and throw the trophy.
Yeah, I'd say, why are you giving Iowa an award? What the hell?
Yeah. All right, there you go. There's
throw it up against the White House and see if I can damage it.
What do you got coming up today? Stupidity?
I mean, tons of stupidity.
Yeah.
There's no question.
That's what
about
I listen
that.
For.
Yeah. I mean,
I get some basketball, but I want the stupidity.
Well, we got Russillo coming on today at 5, and, from The Ringer, of course, one of the most popular podcasts, sports podcasts in America.
I just listened to him and Bill talking about the whole. He thinks Gobert is an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, we'll discuss that with him. And then McMiniman's going to stop by at 6:15.
Oh, that isn't that Cappy's
nemesis?
Cappy's nemesis,
McMiniman. Yeah.
McMiniman. Hey, Mace, I just got a text from Travis, our guy up at Hyde.
Yep.
Says, bring it in.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yep.
So you're going to be hanging out at Hyde and not actually watching
we'll be
the
at the
game.
Cool. We'll be with the cool kids.
I mean, for a little while.
You could argue that's about 70% of Staples.
Whoa!
Or crypto.com. A lot of people love the concourse, so to speak.
All right. Super Crosstalk presented by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. We're back tomorrow at 1. Shidano and Cappy now, 710 ESPN.